Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning we're going to look at several of our texts, and if you have your bulletin, I'd like you to follow with me. Go to the psalm first. We don't talk about the psalm very much, and I want to look at several of these texts, but as we do, I want us to be aware of a thought that existed in the ancient world. And that thought is that if you see God, you will die. That's what the ancient world thought. If you see God, we have to have that clear in our head, if you see God, you'll die. And the reason they thought that is that God is infinite. God is holy. God is powerful. But what are we? We're limited. We're finite. We're weak and we're mortal and sinful. And so they had a very strong concept that if a sinner comes into the presence of a holy God, you will die. So the question for us as Bible-believing Christians is that true? That if you come into the presence of God, you'll die? So the quick answer is no, and that's correct, but I want to get there. And I want to notice some stuff. First of all, I want to notice in Psalm chapter 2, this is God the Father talking to Jesus the Son, a place in the Old Testament where the Trinity happens. I've installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I'll proclaim the Lord's decree. And then it says, he said to me, you are my son. Today I've become your father. So that's letting us know there's God the Father, and God the Father has a son, but he's one with the Father. But notice this. Skip a couple verses down. Therefore, you kings, be wise. You see what it's saying? Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Now hear this. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to destruction. Now I want us to hear this. I said, if a sinner comes in the presence of God, he'll die. That's the old theology. That's not exactly correct, but I want us to get something here. That's partly true. To stand in God's judgment is to face your destruction. Not your obliteration, that's a different thing, but your condemnation. For sinners to stand into the, and we need to get this, into the judgment of a holy and righteous God is a fearful thing. And the reason we have to have that in our head is there's a theology now where we've tried to bring God down to our level, right? God is your buddy. God's your friend. Benny Hinn has a book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I think that's disrespectful in its tone. It misses the infinity and the holiness of God. The Bible says, you kings, be wise. And this is the reason it says it, is that rich and powerful men get very taken up by their money and their power. And we're learning more and more as we go, right? And both sides, the despicable things that go on by some of the rich and the powerful. And they think, no one sees, I will not be called to account. It is a terrifying thing to come into the presence of God's judgment. Now, I want us to have that in the back of our mind and then switch to our Old Testament lesson, because if you look at Exodus 24, it's kind of stunning. In Exodus chapter 24, it says that Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, verse 9, right, went up, what's the next phrase? And saw the God of Israel. They saw God. That's a stunning thing. They went up a mountain and they see God. They walk in the presence of God. They see him. They don't describe God. This happens in the Bible a lot. It doesn't describe God. It describes the surroundings. That's a matter of respect. Now, how is it that they're walking into the presence of God and not facing his judgment? One of the reasons is in verse 12, where God says, come up to me. Right? The judgment of God is burning, but God invites us into his presence, and he says to them, come up to me. God allows himself to be seen. God wants to disclose himself to them. By the way, you can't miss it at the beginning of that section. It begins in verse 8. Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. They atoned for their sins, and he literally flings blood onto the people. and they've been washed and covered by the blood, and now they stand before God. Now, verse 11, God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. So they're seeing God not in his judgment, they're seeing God in his grace. Right? Profoundly different. To stand in God's judgment is terrifying, but to stand in God's grace is safe. And so it says this, God did not raise his hands against them. They saw God, and this is a fascinating phrase, and they ate and they drank. Whenever I read that phrase, I always think of communion, where you come to the altar of God, standing here in the presence of God, approaching his holy altar, where we don't have a right on our own to be, but his invitation, and the death of his son, the sprinkling of the blood, and he says, come and eat and drink. You need to think about that. We do that regularly, but there it is. So there's a difference between coming into the judgment of God and coming into the grace of God, and those are very, very different things. Now, the reason I want us to have that in our back pocket is in over in our gospel lesson in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus discloses, like I said in the children's message, that Jesus is both God and man. And most days, he veils his divinity. Jesus, on a typical day, looks like a man. The Bible says he walked along the lake. It means he walked along a lake. Left foot, right, right. Many people saw Jesus and saw there's nothing special going on there. They were wrong, but many people saw it and said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Aren't his brothers here with us? They missed it. But Jesus gave little glimpses with the miracles, little hints at who he was. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, he disclosed it. He unveiled himself. And I always love the phrase when it says in verse 2, his face shone like the sun. Now, some people read that and says it shone like the sun. They think, well, that means it was bright. It was bright, but that's not what it means. It means there's a distinction between does the moon shed light? It does, but where did it get the light? Right, from the sun. The moon sheds a reflected light, but where does the sun get its light? From itself. So when the Bible says that the face of Jesus shone like the sun, it means like the sun, the light's coming from him. It's not a reflected light. By the way, you and I are supposed to reflect the light of God, but Jesus has intrinsically the light of the living God. It's from him, and they see it, and they say, this is God in the flesh. Right? Now, if Jesus is God, and he's the only God-man, right? Only the Son takes on human flesh, then Peter really misses it. Right? Now, Moses and Elijah are there, and those are the two of the biggest names of the whole Old Testament. Moses and Elijah are there standing for the law and the prophets, right? The lawgiver and one of the great prophets. The law and the prophets happens to be the way ancient Israel referred to the scriptures. So when the Bible says the law and the prophets say that Jesus is the Christ, it means the scriptures confess that Jesus is the Christ. So that's why they're there, but Moses and Elijah are men, nothing more. And Peter gets so caught up in it. I want to make three shelters, one for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And no man is on a par with God. Some of you know, some of my favorite authors, C.S. Lewis, Francis Schaeffer, just men, right? Just men. And whenever we think, well, Jesus is really fabulous, but I'm going to put these other men on his level, then God pulls that away. So God speaks. Thunders really from heaven. This is my son, this one. No one else is on a par with him. Now, Peter got it wrong. And the voice of God from heaven speaks. And I love verse 6. It says, when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground. Because it'd be nice to say, well, they fell face down in reverence. It doesn't say reverence. What does it say? They fell face down how? Terrified. And that is very much, we often say law gospel. That's a law gospel thing. They're doing that exact same thing. Once they get there in the presence of God and they hear the voice of God speak, then they have that law moment that convicts them where they think, oh no, I'm a sinner. Right? They're standing suddenly in their inadequacy. Isaiah, when he saw God, said, I'm a sinful man. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. A miraculous catch of fish, Peter gets who Jesus is. He says, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Right? That sinful man aware of his condition before God. He's quite right about it. They fall face to the ground, face down to the ground, terrified. But I want us to notice, the Bible is law and gospel. It's not just law. In God's judgment, yes, you're lost. But the next, so I want the voice from heaven says, this is my son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. What's the next thing? Listen to him. I want us to notice the follow-up. God the Father says, listen to him. The next person to speak is Jesus. Listen to him. Jesus speaks. What does he say? Get up. Don't be afraid. That's the gospel moment, right? The disciples have said and done all kinds of stupid stuff, being men. And the word of Jesus, by the way, my wife always likes to point out, it says Jesus touched them. Jesus reaches out, he touches them, and he says in the older translations, arise, fear not. That's the word of the Lord. So if you come into the presence of God, do you die? The answer is not according to his grace and not as one who belongs to this Christ, right? This is Christ. By the way, it's Matthew 17. He's on the way to Jerusalem. This Christ who will redeem them. And as Moses sprinkled the people with the blood, Jesus will sprinkle us with his blood. And then he says, come into my presence according to my grace and my mercy. And they lived. No. We skipped the epistle lesson. I want to look at it real quick. We got a couple minutes. Peter was one of those disciples who saw it. And 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, we didn't follow cleverly devised stories when you told about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He's saying, I saw it myself, right? I myself saw the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Well, God the Father said that at the baptism of Jesus, and he says it here. Well, which one does Peter mean? He tells you in the next verse, we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. You see, so Peter is talking about who Jesus is, what he's done for us and our salvation in him, and by the way, and in nobody else. Right, Moses and Elijah pulled away from the scene. Salvation in Christ and in no other way. And he says, we saw it on the mountain. Now, he finishes with this. He says, some of us had that vision with our own eyes, but for the rest of us, he says, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you would do well to pay attention to it. Now, what is that prophetic message? Verse 20, you must understand that no prophecy of what? Of Scripture. You see what he's saying? Peter had the vision of Christ with his own eyes, but he's saying all the rest of us that weren't there, you do get to see it. And where do you see it? In the pages of Scripture. Your heart receives the message of God through the printed word. No prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So that's sufficient to us. So here we are, right? In God's sanctuary, we come into this place, you know, right? Be mindful. We come into the presence of God by his invitation, not by our merits, but by the merits of Christ and no one else. And he has said to you, come up to me and eat and drink. And all the crazy stuff going on in the world today, he continues to say and always says and says again and again, what? Fear not, right? You belong to this Christ, the majestic Son of God from all eternity, your Savior and your Redeemer. Fear not. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.